Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the drought that has afflicted much of the United States this past year has been the most severe in at least 25 years. But the federal agency wants to do more than simply report the bad news. It's come up with a way to track how plant life is faring by using satellites to monitor what is known as evapotranspiration, or ET for short. ET is the exchange of water vapor between the surface of the earth and the atmosphere, and it's critical to plant health. Changes to ET in southern Wisconsin this year have been significant. Martha Anderson is one of the people immersed in this work. She's a research physical scientist with the USDA's Agricultural Research Service. She spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz and said her career wasn't remotely heading in that direction until she was introduced to soil science at UW-Madison.
I got my PhD actually in astrophysics, and I kind of realized maybe 5-6 years into my PhD program that I was much more interested in things that were going on Earth than I was on things going on out in the galaxy. So I was kind of in a quandary. I'd put all this time into becoming an astrophysicist, and I was wondering, well, how can I use these skills that I've developed but study the Earth? And I ran across the field of Earth remote sensing, using satellites to map out processes on the land surface. So I was able to use a lot of the observational skills I developed during my PhD work, but use them to study things that are going on the Earth.
So your research has led you to international collaborations and monitoring what's happening with weather around the world. So can you fill us in a little bit about the scope of your international work?
Well, we started out developing tools for monitoring water use over the United States using satellites. But we realized that, you know, we have satellite coverage of most of the global land surface. And in many parts of the world, they don't have the kind of ground-based monitoring networks that we have in the United States. So satellite monitoring is perhaps the only way we can collect spatially distributed data in some of these regions that is of high quality. And hopefully in the near future, within a year or so, we plan to go global with this monitoring. What we've tried to build are some scalable monitoring tools where we can zoom in using a certain set of satellites at conditions that are occurring over, you know, a set of individual farm fields in some particular region, and then scaling back using other satellites to give some regional context for that particular condition. So we can look at individual farm fields using one set of satellites. We can zoom out and look at, you know, a region in the U.S. We can zoom out farther, look at the whole U.S., and then zoom back even farther and look at the global distribution of moisture stress conditions. So it's kind of like a Google Earth for water resource monitoring,
sure,
if you will.
Yeah.
And certainly it depends on the question that you're addressing. If you're trying to give information to growers in Illinois, they're more concerned about, you know, information at the very small spatial scales. But if we're talking about, you know, where's the hot spot for famine around the globe this year, then we want to back off and look at the global scale.
Of course, yeah. Now, you spent a decade at UW-Madison.
And, that's correct.
And it was at that time that the evaporative stress index was developed?
Well, we started out by trying to develop some techniques for mapping water use by crops and by natural vegetation around the United States using these satellites. And we started thinking, well, these maps may also have some value for monitoring plant stress and drought impacts as well. So we took those evaporation or water use maps and converted them into this evaporative stress index that we're now using for drought monitoring.
Then water use is synonymous with evaporation. Is that correct?
In this context, it is. So the full term is called evapotranspiration, and that's a mouthful. It's ET for short. So ET is comprised of all the water that's transpired by vegetation that's on the land surface in the process of their growth, and water that might be directly evaporated off of surfaces, like off of leaf surfaces or off of the soil. So the net exchange of water vapor between the land surface and the atmosphere is called evapotranspiration. So that's really what we're monitoring. We're monitoring ET using satellites. But over densely vegetated parts of the world and the Corn Belt, over lots of the eastern United States, most of that evaporative loss is water that's taken up by vegetation and transpired.
So then the animation of plant stresses that I saw, that was put together by USDA or by you, I suppose?
It was put together by USDA, and I also collaborate pretty closely with some colleagues over at NOAA.
And so that animation tracks the evolution of drought from January 2010 through September of this year.
That's right. So that's a little segment of the full archive we've produced. Currently, we're going back to 2000, and we kind of run the model in real time.
That snapshot provides a pretty dramatic image. Can you talk about it?
Right. So every year, you know, the drought patterns over the U.S. are different, will pop up in different parts of the country in different years. This last year, we had a pretty intense drought over most of the United States, the central United States, and it came on really, really quickly, which was unusual. And they started calling this kind of event a flash drought. Usually drought kind of creeps up on us rather slowly, but this last year, everything went south really quite quickly. So it was a compound cause for this drought. We had both below normal rainfall over much of the central United States. But there was also this, if you remember, early last year, it was unseasonably warm. There's this lingering heat wave, and it really drove some large evaporative fluxes. Essentially, early in the season, it just baked the moisture right out of the soil. So there weren't a lot of reserves left for the plants to take up once they started to germinate. And this is why standard rainfall-based indicators didn't do a real good job at keeping up with the drought impacts last year. It wasn't just a rainfall deficit effect. It was compounded by this high temperature regime.
You've got the evaporative stress index, and there's also a U.S. drought monitor. So are those meant to be used together to provide more in-depth information, or are you finding that the evaporative stress index is more reliable, more useful?
Well, the U.S. Drought Monitor has been around for years, and we're relative newcomers on the scene. The Drought Monitor is a combination of a number of different drought indicators. There's a Drought Monitor author that serves a two-week term, and every week they kind of look at a number of different maps of different types of moisture deficits, you know, precip deficits, soil moisture deficits, stream flow anomalies, reservoir levels. They talk to people around the country, and they kind of draw these contours over the United States, indicating where the drought is most extreme and less extreme. So what we're envisioning is that this evaporative stress index may be another index that could be incorporated into the real-time construction of the U.S. Drought Monitor. And it may be valuable because we seem to have fairly rapid response to rapidly evolving drought conditions in the ESI that may not be captured by some of the standard indicators that the Drought Monitor authors are currently using.
So what do you mean by rapid response?
Okay, so here's what the evaporative stress index measures. It's measuring crop water use. And that's a fairly good indicator of how healthy a plant is. If a plant is very healthy, it'll take up a lot of water from the soil profile every day using its root system, and it'll transpire some portion of that water back to the atmosphere. And that transpiration serves to keep the plant cool. However, when the crops cannot access sufficient water in the soil, they start to get stressed. They shut down their functioning, so they're reducing how much water they're taking up from the soil, and this causes the plants to start to heat up. So we can measure this reduction in transpiration or crop water use using satellites that observe the temperature of the land surface. We have thermal infrared sensors that can map out land surface temperature. We can relate the land surface temperature to rates of crop water use. So actually, you get a, the moisture is becoming a limiting factor for the crop growth, mm-hmm. we see an early signal in the rise in the vegetation temperature before the plants actually start to wilt and die. So it seems to be the first signal of incipient drought may be in this land surface temperature and the derived crop water use indicators.
How is this information shared with farmers?
So So again, this is a fairly new index. We've been distributing it publicly for about a year now, trying to get some feedback from mainly authors of this U.S. Drought Monitor to feel see if it jived with their reports that they were getting in from the field. As we move forward, we want to work more closely with different types of growers in different regions in the United States to figure out exactly how their decision-making might be impacted by this new kind of drought information, to figure out exactly what kinds of different decisions a corn grower in Illinois might make if they knew early in the season the severity and the spatial distribution of the crop stress area, or, you know, what different types of decisions might ranchers make in response to this information. So this is an area that we want to move into in this upcoming year.
So let's reel out a little further to the general public. Why is this work, why is the research and the index and the monitoring, why is that something we should be concerned about?
My feeling is that as the climate patterns, you know, continue to shift globally, we're going to get more instances where we have below normal precipitation coupled by higher than normal temperatures in many parts of the world. So having an index that can capture early in the process of an incipient drought signs of rapidly developing stress is going to help us stabilize the food market. People can make better adaptive management decisions in the United States globally. If we can identify areas of deteriorating conditions early on, that'll help to mobilize aid to try to address yield losses and potential famine. So I think as the climate patterns become somewhat more unstable, somewhat more variable, we're going to want to have as much information as early as possible to address some of these rapid onset drought events.
Dr. Martha Anderson is a research physical scientist with the USDA's Agricultural Research Service. It's based in Beltsville, Maryland. She studied soil science at UW-Madison. Dr. Anderson recently co-edited a book entitled Remote Sensing of Drought, Innovative Monitoring Approaches. She spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Bentz. You can see the animation of how dramatically plant stress came on in this part of the country at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take a trip to the lower level of the Milwaukee Art Museum next to view the Greta Marx ceramics exhibit. We'll return with curator Mel Buchanan right after this short break. You're listening to Lake Effect on WUWM.